You're listening to the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott, providing you inspiration, information, knowledge, and motivation to help you on your soul's path. Covering topics related to health and happiness from the mystical to the metaphysical and everything in between. Making the unknown known. Now let's join the podcast to discover today's topic. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Just hold on, make sure my microphone's working. This is the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with, of course, me, Mr. Michael Philpott. And thank you so much for tuning in today. We're going to have a fantastic show. Like always, we're going to have an amazing guest. As always, you know, I'm very excited to have Vanessa here. We're going to talk about dark entities. We're going to talk about clearing. We're going to talk, we may just talk about the weather. Who knows? We don't know where this is going to go. I always try to formulate it some way that we have a topic and we stick on that topic, but I usually go off on a tangent. I think it's a psychic thing. I don't know what you think about that, Vanessa, but that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm going with. That being said, everybody, I just want to let you know that the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast is actually on YouTube. So if you, all my listeners who are listening on Spotify and Apple, you can watch this video. If you're watching it right now, hit that like button, smash it, add a comment, subscribe. I really need some subscribers. My channel is really hidden, okay? And it needs some love. So if you want to just give me a little bit of love, I appreciate that. And if you want to give more love, you can donate to it because it's funded by you, the listener. So you guys are like my little sponsors. I'm trying to keep it commercial free and sponsor free and all that stuff. Try to keep it corporate out of it. So I really appreciate any donations. That being said, Vanessa, how are you, my friend?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm very, very well. You know, it was interesting. I think it was almost this time last year we were at an event together, and I don't think we were at the same event, but I didn't get a chance to come on and say hi to you because it was kind of, you know, it was an event. It was at the Halo Awards, correct? Wasn't it?
Correct. Yes. Yes. And I slipped you a card and you kind of just, you were in a conversation and I just kind of gave you a card and walked off. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It was interesting because I wanted to have this conversation last year because I've had a lot of the people who are at the awards on the show, because I like to promote my local people in my area. You know, being a fellow Canadian, I like to promote my Canadian audience, Canadian creators with me, and also we like to create a little community too as well, try to support each other as much as possible. And it was really interesting. You know, your award was it the best psychic medium?
Yes, it was.
Wasn't it?
It has been for the last 4 years there, I will say. I was just saying that,
like, you've kind of like taken that as like your category, you know, top psychic medium, which is really amazing because, you know, there's a lot of us out there once we start, you know, getting out there. But, you know, it's always, I find it difficult to find a quality one, somebody who actually knows what they're doing, they know what they're saying. They're reputable. And that's one of the biggest things, because there's a lot of shady people out there, a lot of bullshit, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you've known it, you've been in the industry long enough. One of the things I found interesting about your background is that you kind of grew up in this. A lot of us kind of find it later in life. For myself and a few other, my friends, it's kind of like, oh, we kind of stumbled onto it, but you were kind of raised on in this environment. So you had a really kind of, it wasn't like something weird that showed up in your family. You want to talk about that a bit?
There is a little bit of a twist in it.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
I am a sixth generation clairvoyant medium in my family, and I was taught
six, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to clarify. Yeah, that's a lot.
It is, and it goes back to England. So all the English spiritualist is more what I'm taught by. And the magicka and all that kind of stuff. And so my uncle and my grandmother, they both taught me tarot and mediumship, and of course clairvoyancy, and everything all just kind of comes with it. I already had it, but this is where the twist was. When I was 13 months old, my father and mother had given me up to illegal guardians, or not illegal, to a legal guardian. And what happened was they were like more Christian based. They grew up more Mennonite, which is to me hilarious. And so I landed into this family. However, my foster mom was very much a medium, but you didn't say that, right? That wasn't a thing to talk about.
course.
However, she enjoyed talking to me about it all the time when I was little. So I did get a little bit when I was younger. I would always have spirit interaction. Like I would wake up or by screaming in the old farmhouse I grew up in, and my dad would be like, "Oh, it's the house settling." And I'd be like, "Dad, the house is 100 years old. When is it going to stop settling?" So they knew, but they didn't want to admit it. My foster mother didn't admit it till I was 20, about 21. She said, "You were always different than the rest of the kids." And when it came to my uncle and my grandmother, one day I thought, sorry, I'm going to find them. And I had this inkling that I had an uncle out in BC. So I picked up the phone and called. And the information said, "Oh, we have 97 directories." I'm like, "What's your biggest directory?" And they said, "Vancouver." I'm like, "Great, give me Vancouver." And the first number was my uncle. And I started to
Wow.
talk. And I started talking and saying, "Do you know Jeff Hurst?" Blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it just clicked. And I hear this booming English voice saying, "Hello." And I was like, "Oh, this is who I am." So he was overjoyed. "Oh, your grandmother has to meet you." And then I started saying, "Does the family have these weird things like dreams that come true?" And then all of a sudden, this booming voice, ha 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 ha, right from his toe, he says, "You're one of us." And from then on, there is when they immediately started teaching me. My grandmother sent me immediately a pack of Rider-Waite tarot cards. And then that's where it all really began. I do remember spirit at 2 years old, though, very, very young. They've been chasing me for quite some time.
Wow. Yeah, that's an amazing story. I love how that happens when there is that kind of connection and it's kind of fostered. It's not hidden because so many of us have usually had suppressed, they've usually had a traumatic childhood of some sort, and they kind of get their gifts suppressed, or there's something along the line that suppresses that openness and from that. So one of the things I was really, really interested in to have a conversation with you is.
Apologize for my bird over here. It's just going crazy if you're hearing that, but it
Okay.
must be much like your voice. Yeah.
That's what it is. Hold on for a second. Yeah, what I really enjoyed is the fact you talk about clearing and how well you're talking about the house settling. So one of the things people come to me and it's like it's not my wheelhouse. I'll fully admit that about clearing. They talk about dark entities, spirit roaming around. It's really not my cup of tea. Like I said, listen, I like to, hey, I'll direct you to somebody who does that sort of thing. And I'm finding now, and I'm sure you've probably seen that so many people are having these experiences where they need somebody like you to come into their home and clear these attachments, spirits, dark entities, stuff like that. So how does that happen? So why, or maybe even ask, maybe the question is, why is so many of these places having these dark entities or these attachments or these spirits still in these homes?
Well, there's many reasons, actually, very many reasons. And it could be the homeowners themselves, right down to that. So some of it is just low, very low vibration. And so low vibration, as we know, can magnetize lower level spirits, which are mischievous. And, they're not really hurtful or anything unless they like, hit you with something they knocked off a shelf. But there's that. There's the what I like to call the perfect storms. So when it happened to me, because this is where I started clearing when I was about 25 is when I started, and it was during the time that my uncle was also still I was also still working with him, and I was doing tarot readings a lot. And I wasn't closing myself down. So I was opening a portal to have everything come back through. And then I had radio towers in the lot behind my house and a standing water of a pond of water, which wasn't an underground, it was just a pond. So it was not live, as we call it. So it was just kind of stagnant. Okay. So it could be things like that. It could be negative ley lines in the ground. It's when we go to our basement and we see the big X's that are cracked into our floors. And those are, one is a positive and one is a negative, and they'll always be very, very close to each other. So
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to kind of go over some of these terms, because I have a lot of newbies, you know, people who are just kind of getting into it. So let's just kind of explain ley lines really quickly. Just if you could just briefly do that.
So ley lines are on the sections of the earth where they're very positive or they're very negative, and they can be outside. The easiest place to see them is in concrete, because the concrete will literally break into an X. Okay. And if you go stand into the middle of one of those X's, and let's say you're even slightly empathic, you should be able to feel it. Is you stand in the middle of one of those X's, and you'll either get a very uplifting feeling, or you'll feel like you're kind of falling, or you feel like your energy is being drained. In that case, you get off that ley line and go find the positive one to recharge yourself. But way, way back in the day, they used to build churches on ley lines. So when you go in, so when you go into the really old churches and you get an immediately uplifting feeling, well, that's usually because it's on a positive ley line. Again, also with the music and the vibration, those two coupled will just bring your energies right up.
Interesting. I did not know that. I mean, I knew that they had, a lot of times they would put sacred geometry, or they'll put certain things in the church to uplift and pull that positive energy. So you do feel uplifted. That's why you went to church, to kind of get that. You raise your vibration up, you get connected, and you leave, and it's like, okay, then you come back, and it's kind of like you recharge your battery spiritually. Well, that totally makes sense.
And so they really follow that anymore, and congregations are going lower.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really absentee now. Most Christian-based churches now, they're really aging out. There's not a lot of people, new people coming into the church and stuff like that. But that's really interesting and stuff like that.
Yeah, wow. So that's Earth itself. It's not even man-made. So that, you know, just things like that can create wonderful energies, like wonderful negative energies in your house. 9 times out of 10, it isn't a spirit that's haunting you. It's really? Usually your own energies. Yes, okay. That have built up over time.
Yeah. So one of the things people have asked me about is having their own issues or their own, because we're basically these energetic sponges, from my understanding, as we go out into the world and we're always interacting with people, and they've got, it's almost like, you know, it's like getting gum on the bottom of your shoe. You kind of pick things up as you go along, and some people bring that home, and then that energy is kind of stays in the home. Do you find that happens a lot more too as well?
No? See, this is when we watch TV, it's very Hollywood, extremely Hollywood. And we don't really find major demons or anything like that. Even attachments are rare. So what we usually bring home and what we usually step in is yucky energy. And we build it as we get angry or driving on the way home or whatever. And then we're like, oh, I can't believe this. We more so pick up sad energies. And things like that, like if you were to go to a funeral, or if you were to go, like we pick them all up, but more emanates from the sadness than it does from having an attachment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
attachment.
Yeah, an attachment, like say if you go to a haunted home or a cemetery, they don't stay with you. They might come home with you for a couple days. That's true. And they might hang out with you and make you cold and creep you out in a corner somewhere, but they usually go back to their originating haunt. They don't stay.
Okay, that's interesting. So what happens if you go into a house that has one of those energies there?
Well, it all depends what you're doing at that house. If you're going to clear it, you obviously have to talk it over to the other side. You can smudge, yes, but that's only taking the negative energy out of the air. That's not getting rid of a spirit.
Okay.
What will get rid of a spirit is your intent and your belief. Okay, and your faith, basically.
And your faith. So how did you learn how to do this?
Well, the first person that taught me was an Ojibwe shaman by the name of Tona Mason. And what had happened was my uncle, God bless his soul, forgot to tell me how to close myself down. Because you understand, back then, it was early 90s. And so we were doing this all over the phone. So, because he was in British Columbia, I was in Ontario. So they had to do all of their teachings over the phone with me. And so it was just one of those things that he forgot. And of course, the home that I talked about, and also I'm on Paranormal Survivor, if anybody wants to see the full story. Again, the full Hollywood story. But that's why I had to learn, because I had the perfect storm. And I created such a mess in my house. And from what was on the property before, because it was West Hamilton Mountain, a lot of people hear stories about the East Hamilton Mountain and down below the mountain when it came to the Aboriginal Wars and like 1812, 1814, all of that in there. But they never really talked about the West Mountain. And that's where I was. And so I had taken photos to take to the shaman, and here was all these young Native men standing around in my living room with my dad on the bottom step looking at me with this big smug look on his face. And unfortunately, the shaman told me to burn them, and I kick myself ever since, because they were the best pictures I've ever had when it comes to spirit.
Wow.
And but he didn't want the spirits to come back through the photo.
He
didn't want to leave any doors open. So what he did, at first I had an Anglican priest come through, and unfortunately the spirits were tripping him up and down the stairs. You could clearly see that this man was disturbed by it. And then finally that just made things worse in the house. And then I called the shaman, Tona. And he taught me how to smudge with sage and drums. And then my uncle after that said, you come out to BC and I'll teach you our way to smudge. So I was lucky. And since then, of course, I've learned other modalities of smudging, which I incorporate in all of my houses as much as possible.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah, I know smudging is, you know, amazing. What about crystals? Do the crystals help at all, or are they just kind of setting the tone?
Crystals are amplifiers, right? We put them in our antennas. So what we are amplifying will come to us. So if we are, I know this sounds odd, but a lot of people feel entitled to have spirits. And it's a fun thing, of course. It's not something you regularly get.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that more crystals in a house will amplify what they want to come towards them. So if they're always talking about spirits and this, that, there's going to be more spirits coming in. I mean, you know, we hear about putting them in each corner of a room or a house, like four corners of the house. Yeah, you could do that. But you could also use other things like the salt water mixtures or the lemons in the corners or the coconuts in the corner or things like that. I would prefer to do those over the crystals. However, I do have a lot of crystals in my home, but I can take care of it though, if anything comes in.
That's good. So one of the things, you know, you touched on earlier is about opening portals. Now, I know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but early in my days, we always love to experiment. We always love, like, once you start playing around.
Let me guess,
like,
Ouija board.
Yeah. Well, no, I had, when we were younger, we had a Ouija board, but I was never really trippy about that. But as I learned about psychic development and things like that, I had friends of mine say they were channelers and wanted to channel all the time and open up to gateways and open themselves to spirit. And things got really messed up. And I had an interesting... They do. And this is one of the things I learned is that, yeah, you don't want to mess around with the other side. You just don't. Even though there is light and there is joy and there's the divine, there's also the opposite too. And you got to be very, very careful of playing around, you know. And it was just, and again, one of the things I equated to is just, you know, the experience, right? You get excited, you want to connect. Like, that's what we all want to do. That's why we're here. Like, we want to connect to the divine. And sometimes we just, our egos get in the way and go, oh, let's open. And a friend of mine opened up his whole house was like just a giant portal. And I wouldn't, after a while, I could never go into it. I just said, no, I'm not going into that house. You're crazy. Like, this is just nuts. So one of the things, what can we do to prevent something like that happening? So that's one of the things, you know, I wanted to ask you about, because if you're interested in working with the divine and working on the other side and spirits and that, you got to learn certain things. And one of the things, you know, I wanted to ask you about is how to make sure we don't open a portal that we can't close, or not even open a portal at all. What would you say on that?
Well, you know, I always like the word portal. I mean, we got to have a better word than that. But yes, it is
gateway,
what it is.
I don't know what you
gateway. Where? Yeah. First of all, if you're looking to work in the super paranormal, supernatural, metaphysical, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, work in it slowly and go very, very slowly, because a lot of people give me eyeballs when I say this, but psychic work and mental health run a very, very fine line. And if you go too fast in your psychic energy work, you can flip over and open that channel or portal, and it will come flooding through and literally can make people a raving lunatic. And so you have to be very, very careful, because the thing is if you don't understand, and that's where everybody should start, by the way, they shouldn't just jump into some willy-nilly class. They should be jumping into energy classes and understanding their own energies, chakra system and magnetic auras, et cetera, before they start any kind of this work. So they have the understanding that, oh, I could be opening a portal here, because they would understand their own energy. So how not to do it is, A, don't use any metaphysical tools or start reading if you don't know what you're doing, as in protecting yourself or shielding yourself, whichever way you want to call that. Sometimes it's with a white light. Sometimes it's asking your guardian spirits or archangels to watch over you as you do this. And, you know, people just say, oh, Ouija boards, they're so bad. Well, no, so is tarot cards. So is pendulums. So is this, so is that, right? It's all a metaphysical tool. It's all good, as long as you know how to use it. The only time Ouija boards became evil was in the early 70s, when Captain Howdy sprung out of the Exorcist board, right? And all of a sudden she's possessed. Before that, everybody owned one. You didn't hear these. You might've heard, oh, I had this event, but nobody was overly scared of them until that movie.
Yeah, and then that still freaks me out, that movie.
I watched that movie the first time at 8 years old with my sister, and the first commercial break where it went silent, she grabbed me by the ribs, and boy, did I scream, let me tell you. But I was never scared again by another movie. So as for the portals, you can open them. I would definitely look at your property, see what you have there. If you have an abundance of electricity, like the radio towers, you know, make sure you have organite, like you can get them pyramids or little organite things to keep the EMFs down, those kinds of things, if you don't want a portal.
So, yeah, the other thing is just try not to experiment with stuff unless you have the basic training. That would be a really good kind of just.
Yes. Just if you don't know how to do it, don't do it. Because then you call me and then I have to go clean it up. And well, the one thing with that too, is when I do go to do houses, and I very much scan them before I even leave my door, because again, usually it's just people's, you know, energy over the years of being in a house. But when I get there, I do teach the people how to do it in the way I do it as well. And I do suggest that they carry that on every month. I usually say like full moon, because it's easy to remember. And so every full moon, you cleanse your house, your rocks, whatever it is, your metaphysical tools, put them in the moonlight. If there's something that you use a great deal.
Okay, so that's a really good idea. Has there been ever a chance or any time where you've been to a place where you go, yeah, I'm not going in there. I'm not even going to attempt to do that.
Oh no, I'm that. I guess you could call me kind of stupid. Because I don't care. I will go in there. I think the last time that kind of happened was me and my two cousins were in my great grandfather's house from 1812. He was a seer. Well, this one was on my father's side, my father's grandfather's side. And he was the seer for the Seneca Nation down there. And in this house, there was this room that was blocked up, right? And you could only get through it by going into a cubby. And my cousins are looking in the hole. I'm like, get out of the way, get out of the way, let me in there. Oh yeah, I was right in there taking pictures. And I did get an amazing shot of a girl in one of the cubbies that were actually in the room that's on my Facebook. So
wow.
I was very happy to get that.
So do you have to use a special camera to actually photograph spirits?
I don't. I haven't. I've got some pretty cool pictures. Back in the day, it would have been either Polaroids or digitals. And now it's on my phone. I'm very lucky that way. I do have to say, you know, because I don't really go out of my way. I just start snapping a lot of pictures. I don't say, hey guys, come visit me. Make sure you know, look over the railing or whatever. The only time I think I did that was when I was visiting the big psychiatric hospital in Vancouver. And that's the only time. And in those pictures, I actually have, like, there was one where a guy's like leaning out the window, smoking a cigarette, looking back at me.
Now, because you're a very talented clairvoyant. So are you seeing them prior to that? And that's where you know where to snap the photos because you can actually see them?
When it comes to that, it's more of my feeling.
Okay.
It's almost like a magnetized to that spot.
Okay. Now, do you find that like certain spirits will linger in certain rooms? You know, they'll be like in one bedroom or they'll be in the basement or the kitchen and that's their spot, but they won't go anywhere else without in the house?
They will. A lot of times they will flit and flight, but usually they have one general spot that they like to stand in. And that, and a lot of times it can be where, say, the homeowner sits a lot because that's where the energy is, right? That's where they're going to feed from. And I know that sounds like a bad term, but they need energy too, right? So it's the energy of the environment. It's the energy of the person in the room, and it's their energy that how they're able to manifest and what level they're at. So because all spirits cannot just go, poof, here I am. You know, they have their lessons as well.
So they feed off the energy of the house. So if the house is chaotic, there's anger, there's fighting going on, stuff like that, it's going to ramp up the spirit too as well. So it's going to just enforce all that energy too as well.
100%. Yes.
So it's interesting enough. So again, it's just like anything, it's like the energy you put out, your energy going to get back. And it's always the same idea as like in a house, you can feel that. I mean, you know, I myself as an empath, you can walk into an environment, you can walk into. So we have to talk about this. There was a little bit of pause. If you're noticing, there's a little bit of editing going on here on the audio and the video podcast. Now, of course, what would happen is that we're talking along here and I don't know. It wasn't on my end. So it must be your end there with all the spirits. So could you honestly say, because we had a little bit of snafu here, technical snafu. Do you think it was spirit that was messing with us or what?
Oh yes, 100%. I mean, this old church that I'm living in definitely has spirit, and they like to part of my language, but screw with me. They totally do. So I know that I had this phone all juiced up, ready to go. And so we plugged it in, so we should be good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, we were talking about, you know, about spirit, about the energy of the people in the building and how it could, you know, spirit will feed off that energy. So especially if something it's there in there already, it's feeding off your own energy. So if you're fighting and you're arguing a lot and there's a lot of drama and stuff like that, they're feeding on that all the time. But I mean, you're such a light worker. There should be just lots of happiness. Why are they messing with our podcast? Like, what's going on with that?
To have fun with us. I mean, they do have a sense of humor too, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, okay, you have to understand, my uncle and my grandmother that taught me is in spirit. So I have all of them also going around and having fun with me as well. So I actually I have more people in spirit than years living. Let's put it that way.
Wow. That's
so amazing. There's a lot of people that will come around and go, boop. And, you know, oh, try to fix this one, Vanessa. And it's just, a lot of it's just mischievous fun.
All right. So I probably should have asked you beforehand, just to, we should have got it out of the way first. It's like, hey, listen, guys, we're running a podcast here. This is serious business here. Come on. It's serious. We're serious people.
I should have said so.
Or we could, we could have just smudged everything. I usually smudge beforehand, so I don't bring my own garbage with me, you know. So I try to keep my space clean as much as possible.
But I'm in a church. Like, how much more do I need to do here?
Yeah, and you're wearing a cross too as well. I mean, if you don't have
the they're all over me.
Yeah. But that's just the way it goes sometimes, right? There's always something, right? So how do we know that it's actually spirit that's messing with us? And it's just some weird random fluke. Because people go, well, they could just write that
nothing
off.
Nothing is random. Nothing is random. So either it's spirit, the environment, or yourself. Again, so because we can move things telekinetically, right? When we're in a really, really bad mood and something falls and breaks or whatever, it's not, you know, just because... You know, a lot of times it's not because of spirit or being angry, it's because of us, or a window will shut or like really hard, or a door will slam. So we can do it very easily and unknowingly telekinetically. And the other way is, of course, environment. Say if something fell over, if there was a fan on, I mean, you have to always look for the physical first. And then, of course, spirit. You know, if you're not a person that can feel them or see them, that would be, I would say, your third bet is like, okay, then it must be a spirit trying to get my attention.
You find people just call you up and because, you know, you have such a wide audience, a lot of people, they must like, you know, you get these texts, random texts. Okay, I think something's in my house. Like they call you panicking.
Especially this month, around this time of the year, because the veil is thin. So a lot of people that don't regularly see spirits will see a spirit or a shadow person or a light source of some sort. And yes, they will call me.
Yeah, they kind of panicking. It's like, okay, I got to call Vanessa. I just saw this weird thing. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm freaking out. So
I had that, I think about 10 o'clock last night or something like that. Yeah. I get videos in my PMs. Oh my God, Vanessa, what was this?
And you could just say, okay, that's just the car driving by that just created a shadow. Or
they don't want to hear that though. Seriously. A lot of people don't want to hear that.
Really?
You know, especially with orbs. Yeah. People don't realize that our cameras are so, so advanced on our phones nowadays that when we take pictures, a lot of times it's solar flare now. And it's not orbs that we're catching. If you really want to, you know, get legit orbs and things like that, use old cameras. You know, even if you have a film camera and know somebody that can do the film for you, I would suggest that. Like these cameras, if you've noticed, like... You'll see if you open up the picture really, really big, you'll see a succession of, say, sunspots or sun rings or what have you. So a lot of times, yeah, people just, they don't want to believe.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's
interesting.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the way you're going, yeah, no, that's just the sunlight reflecting off the glass. Don't worry about it. Don't stress.
And they go, no, that's so-and-so from the other side. And I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, do you find, because you've been doing this for a lot of years, that it's just that yearning to connect with loved ones, that they will make stuff up, because it's such a powerful connection when you lose a loved one. And it could be so it could be so hard, you know, on the spirit.
I don't feel that they're making it up.
No.
I feel that, again, sometimes they yearn so much that they bring stuff towards them. When it comes to grief and spirit, especially when the grief is new, it's very, very difficult for spirit to get to that person, their loved one, because of so much grief energy in front of them. So a lot of times they'll come through dreaming and things like that. Well, with people that don't generally, and there's so many of them that don't remember their dreams, they know, they don't think that their family member comes to visit them, but they do, and they're omnipresent. And that's usually why they come to me and say, okay, Vanessa. So a little thing that I tell people when it comes to this is ask that loved one to bring you a special gift, not a dime, not a quarter. We're talking, if your papa liked Corvettes in his lifetime, you ask him to bring you a Corvette. You be specific if you want a small Corvette, like a Hot Wheels, or if you want a big Corvette. And you just put it out there and don't tell your family or friends what you've asked for, because sometimes our pass on loved ones will employ one of them to bring the gift to you and say, weird, this was out in your driveway. Here's a Corvette and it's a Hot Wheels. Or they bring you a flyer from your mailbox and there's a big red Corvette on the front of it or whatever. But that is a really, really good exercise for a grieving person to know that their family member is listening to them. And and that little object, the energy that comes off of that little object, it hits you right in the heart chakra. And they know, you just know that that was your gift. I had once told a lady, and this was a gallery reading, and I said, well, I gave her the same advice, but I had said, you know, ask them for a black feather with white polka dots, because that's not really, you know,
that's very random.
It's a rare thing. The next morning she woke up, went outside, and on her sidewalk was a white feather with black polka dots. And it was just absolutely hilarious. It's like, well, there you go. And so, you know, it's nice little gifts from the other side. And it also solidifies that they listen and the connection is still 100% there. Although their body is not there, they are 100% omnipresent when you need them.
Okay. So one of the things, and you did mention there's two things, but the first one I wanted to mention about grief. I've heard that sometimes that grief, like the grief could be so hard and so distraughting for an individual that it's tough for spirit to cross over, and that would sometimes prevent spirit, the one who's passed over, to cross over. Yes or no?
No. That is an old belief. That is something like you would hear from like Dion Fortune or Aleister Crowley's time back in those days, where they really did believe. But from that time, we've had so many channelers, you know, all of them, like Ramtha, like you name it. There's just so many. And Dolores Cannon's work, where she spoke with a lot of spirit, also Dr. Carl Wicklund. And what happens is, They cross over right away. They sometimes come back to the earth because they haven't finished their lesson yet, or their new lesson on the other side is to come back and be with that person and walk with them for a certain duration of their path, because maybe they were abusive to that person, or, you know, but it's, when they get over there, it's pure love. And they still have their memories. They still have some personality traits, whether they're good, they're bad. They still have them. But how do I put this? It's just, there is no tie. There is no earthly tie.
Okay.
Once that silver umbilical cord is cut and they're back in spirit, it's cut. Now they could come back to the earth in physical form right away, but again, that's very, very rare as well. That usually takes time because they have to work on their energetic, their soul, their energies, and they have to, of course, filter things, understand their lessons, whether they came back too early or et cetera. So there's a lot of different things that can affect all of this.
Okay. Yeah. I've always wanted to have that take on that because, you know, you hear so many different things and it's always nice to get a different perspective and understanding of that because so much of the stuff is a little bit older, like you're saying with the Dion Fortune and Aleister Crowley. I mean, all those type of old metaphysical type interesting stuff. And I mean, I love Dolores Cannon stuff. I mean, she was fantastic. Love Dolores stuff. So one of the things you talked about is dreams. Now, one of the things that you do is dream interpretation.
And about, I do, yes.
And also that loved ones and spirit can enter into your dream. So let's talk about that for a second, if you would.
Oh, yes. So, yes. So it's easier when you are in sleep form for them to come through because all barriers, you know, are down. So they can cross right into your dreams. Now, usually what happens is that we are out of body. So as you probably heard, I think it was Dolores Cannon, or there's someone else that said, could you imagine if your soul sat beside you for 7 hours waiting for you to wake up? Do you really think that that's happening? No, we don't. So we're out of body. We're doing, you know, some lucid dreaming. And usually that's how we see them, in a lucid dream, and that they feel real. You can hear them, you can smell them, they touch, you can feel all their love. And that usually is a confirmation of when they have reached the other side and they're allowed to make their first phone call, so to speak. So,
okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah. And so they pop in, they may say, you know what my sister said? My sister came in and her first words to me at confirmation was, brush your teeth. I'm like, what? And I couldn't for the life of me remember anything. I'm like, why would she say that to me? Oh my goodness. Well, when we were little, she used to say I had sewer breath. And, and so it was a confirmation of, this is really Janice. I totally, as an adult, forgot that she used to do that to me all the time. Wow. But it was something that only I would have known. And it took a moment for me to think about it. And then it was like, I can't believe you said that from the other side, Janie Mae. So, yeah, so that is their initial confirmation to you.
Yeah. So how do you make sure that you remember it and if you don't just disregard it as just, oh, I was just dreaming?
Okay, so when you see spirit in your dreams, you should not disregard that it was just a dream at any time. So we have two different kinds of dreams when it comes to the passed on loved ones. One where it's just them, they're talking to you, and I'll get to the remembering part, and they're talking to you and they're enjoying your company and they're telling you things. And then you have the dreams where they're just standing there and they could be staring at you with a glare, or they could be crying and bawling. So the first one is 100% that is them. The second one is 100% that is them, but they are creating a mirror image to say, I know how deeply hurt you are. I know that you're crying this badly. So how you remember is you have to do the mind over matter trick. And every night, almost like the Silva mind control, every night you got it, before you got to go to bed, you got to say, okay, so-and-so, I would love to meet you. And make sure your meeting spot is a place that the both of you really enjoy together. And so meet up in that spot at about, like, say, I'll be asleep at about, and you can do this with the living too, by the way, I'll be asleep at about 3, 4 p.m. and we'll meet here at the oak tree. And so you both meet there and you say, but please, please, please help me remember this visit with you.
Okay.
That's the big one.
All right. So now, usually with dreams, from my understanding, sometimes they'll have a powerful emotion to help you remember during that time. So sometimes, and this is where they talk about either it's a nightmare sometimes, or like a very disturbing dream, or like they always say it's a sexual dream, because you were going to remember things like that. So during these things, they're usually a charge, an emotional charge to it to help you remember. Is that sometimes your clients find that?
Yes, sometimes. A lot of times it's the nightmarish things that they actually end up zoning in on. And what the problem is there is we're out of body. And as we come back into body, our subconscious and our conscious becomes awake together. And so everything from the day, like we just watched the movie Halloween the night before, our boss yelled at us during today, all that stuff is going to start to filter in to our beautiful lucid moments. And so it starts to, and this is how we end up forgetting. So as we descend back into the body and our brain is waking up, it's literally destroying everything good for us. So what you need, like when you start to train yourself to do this and to remember, all of that stuff will be pushed aside, that consciousness, and only the subconscious, the big feelings will remain. And it's usually love. It's usually like they'll say, oh my God, I seen so-and-so and they hugged me and it felt so good and it was so warm. And, you know, they're shocked that it was a warm hug, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's so profound. Do you find like for that is it can be very deeply healing for the individual?
Oh, 100%. It can go two ways, really. You know, it can either be really, really healing, or they can just pine a little deeper for that person. And usually it's the healing part. Usually they're happy. They're able to see and speak with that person. But there is that rare event where it becomes even more deeper.
Wow. Yeah. That'd be really something too, as well, is to have that profound moment and to help you heal. I guess that would be so uplifting, because some people, it takes a long time for them to get over the grief of a loved one, especially if there was a really strong bond with that. Do you find
100%.
Do you find part of your job is more like a grief counselor?
Yes. Yes. Very much so. Very much so. And explaining the different levels of spirit and the do's and don'ts. And that is actually what my talk is about on the 12th, is all of this stuff and how to navigate your own heaven to your own heaven and basically have a good death instead of having a fearful one. And, you know, the other spirits basically having to pull you out of your body, et cetera. But it's more of the explanation of what goes on from here, the unknown.
The unknown. Yeah. Cause I know a lot of people, they're always that fear, you know, and I guess that's why a lot of people will go, because they're always concerned, like, how is my loved one on the other side? And they want that confirmation, like, and 99% of they're like, yeah, I'm good. Like, listen, this is amazing. Like, you know, once you get on the other side, like, you know, and I've had the opportunity to talk to people who have NDEs, you know, those near-death experiences, and they just have the most profound, beautiful experiences on the other side. And sometimes they're regretting, and they're begrudgingly have to come back. And they're like, after you have all that love, you have all this amazing experiences. And it's like,
and they're home, right? They actually get to feel home again. So
yeah.
And then coming back here, although it is home, it's not really home.
Yeah. It's like a temporary school.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Temporary school. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about too, as well, is, your ability to do spirit portraits. Let me just.
Oh, spirit guide portraits.
Guide portraits. Now, some of those portraits, you know, are so, they're amazing, and they're kind of creepy and sometimes too, because they have this energy about them that like they look like, and you're looking at them, it's like they're like peering right through to your soul, and it's just this really amazing thing. I mean, it can be very profound. Do you find that there's a mixture of like spirit guides, but also their loved ones come through as one of their guides too, as well? Or it's just basically somebody that's not really with their family as their spirit guides?
I have had spirit guides. I've had moms and dads, children, and even a neighbor come through.
Really? A neighbor?
Yeah. they were good friends, but it's like, okay, well, perhaps, you know, obviously this person is on your path at this moment. Because I mean, we don't always have the same guides throughout our life, right? We're born with our legit one that walks with us, but we also pick them up as we experience new things. So if we, you know, get into a new class, a new math class, we're going to get a new math guide, etc. And these are all, yeah, and these are all, you know, we make these contracts before we get here. So I mean, they know that they are that they're gonna have to work with us. And I'm sure like my guides are like, why did we do this?
Oh, I've had mine like tear up the contract and said, you know, listen, this guy is just, he's, yeah, there's no help for this dude. There's no, there is, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Where's the nearest spiritual bar? I'm going to go hang out there for a while. Well, this guy gets his shit together. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Wow. So do you find people ask for that? That portrait a lot, or do you find that they really don't want to know to have that, or
it goes in waves, really. Yeah. The spirit guide portraits, I won't do some for years, and then all of a sudden I'll get 20 orders for them out of left field. So, you know, I have it on my website or whatever. I don't, you know, promote it all that much. I am a portrait, like a legit portrait artist. But you know, so I don't know. It is the thing I can do. And if somebody wants it, I'll definitely give that service, but it's not something that I regularly push.
Yeah. Now, do you do portraits of people's houses? And you like, yes. You know, so you do, like, I was just wondering about that. Do you do like do a portrait of the energy of the house into as well to give them something?
No, I don't do that. I do look at houses and I tell them like, okay, this is where the condensed energy is. This is where it travels, those kinds of things. I don't ever draw them out though. I can do aura drawings and things like that. That's absolutely not an issue. But I just never, nobody's ever asked me, I think.
Well, maybe
now, draw a house. Yes. Like the landscape, draw a house. It's not my favorite thing. I am not Bob Ross. I do like to draw people over landscapes and houses.
A little more interesting than landscape. I mean, yeah.
You can make them come alive, as you said. You can make portraits come alive. I mean, you can make other pictures come alive too, but I'm better at portraits that way.
Yeah. Now, do you actually invite them to come, or are you just kind of connecting with the person and say, listen, okay, like we're having this conversation over Zoom here, you know, you're looking at me and you can go, oh yeah, there's one, two, three, there's this guy over here, there's that guy over there, there's this woman over here, so forth. I mean, how do you condense it like to one versus
I ask
men?
Them to help me draw them.
Okay.
So it's more of a channeling session, I would say.
Okay. So it's almost like telepathically they're coming in and kind of showing, this is what I look like.
Correct. Yes. And what they like to do too, like not so much when I'm doing guide pictures, they show me what they look like, or they draw what they look like. It's more like automatic writing. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's more like that. But when I'm reading them, they will either show themselves of what they really look like. I will see them standing in the room, or they flash things in my head in the clairvoyant sense, and they'll compare themselves to an actor, actress, singer, and I'll be like, oh, your dad looks like Anthony Hopkins, and people will go, oh, who's Anthony Hopkins? And I'll go, hey, wait a minute, here you are, and they go, oh my God, yes, he does look like that actor.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's always fun to me. I always like it better that way. It's like your person looks like this actress or whatever.
Yeah, that's a really interesting. Yeah, because there's always somebody you look like. Everybody wants to say, oh, you look like this person. You look like that person. And again, just makes it easier for us to recognize it. And because it's part of our, you know, how we perceive the energy or the information. It's easier to perceive than trying to like, okay, he's kind of got these eyebrows, he's kind of got, and you just say, hey, this guy looks like Anthony Hopkins, you know, hopefully not Hannibal Lecter, but Anthony Hopkins, the actor.
Well, we're usually hoping not that one, that but they will show themselves in certain roles as well, which I always find interesting because spirit has to speak to us in what we know the most. And I know movies and TV shows and music, and that's what I really dig. So that's how they speak to me and in books. But I'm, you know, I like the movies and stuff much better. And sometimes it's not what they look like. It's the character they're playing.
Okay.
So, yeah. So let's say Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. It's like, well, this person's acting pretty silly. And, you know, did this person maybe have a small education? Or, you know, it got to be nice how you say that. But, you know, were they socially with us? You know, those kinds of things. And they go, oh, my goodness, no. You know, he was a few bricks short or whatever. So they also tell it that way as well.
Yeah. Do you find that having those portraits will actually invoke them, a stronger connection to their spirit guides?
Yes, I that is definitely one of the things why you can have one of those is because you have it as a visual point that if you needed that, now that's not your, it may not be your, like if you were doing readings, let's say, that may not be your reading guide, but it's like a ritual tool, right? It's if you believe that holy water is going to work, it's going to work.
Okay.
So if you look at your guide and say, yeah, you're helping me. Yeah, that guide's helping you because you can actually feel it and the intent is there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Do you find too as well that people start actually connecting during their dreams now because now they have a frame of reference that they can say, okay, this is what my guide is, one of my major guides is, so that if I have a problem that I can, you know, ask them,
go and speak to them
directly, and so that they can say, oh, I recognize this guy. All right, I know it's my spirit guide. Perfect. Okay, good. I can relax. I can ask them a question. Okay, why is my life so screwed up? Okay, then they can give you the answer, and it's like, okay, this is what you need to work
and
on.
I would do that more in a meditation session. I would go and meet my guide, very much how I described meeting a passed on loved one in dreaming. It's the very same thing. I would do that more in a meditation session.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Any particular reason why?
You would get questions quicker or the answers quicker.
Okay. Yeah. Instead of going through that whole process of sleep and then trying to wake up, trying to remember it because you're still conscious and you're not thinking about, I got to go to the washroom. Oh, I need a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
The body's already kind of up and going already. So that totally makes sense on that. Yeah. That'd be so interesting to have that, but I'd be kind of weird because I'd be like, okay, you're watching me in spirit. Anyways, I don't need you looking at me,
it's inevitable.
Yeah, it is. They see all this crazy stuff that we do anyways. And they're probably going,
oh, that's Earth. That's what they're saying. Oh, look at, they're on Earth.
Yeah. They're caught in the matrix. That's what's happening.
Yes.
Wow. That is so cool. So like, is there anything that people can do right now? If people are listening to ensure that they don't, create any more drama, give more energy to any entities or spirit that may be in their house or may not be in their house. Is there anything that they can do on a daily basis that they can help them out?
Yes, because the thing is this is a lifestyle. This is not just, I've taken a weekend course and I'm going to go do this. It definitely is something that you should implement as daily living. We used to do this. We used to do these kinds of things. So there's lots of things. So I remember as a child, I would see older Europeans, like old Italian men or whatever, sweeping their front walk every morning. Well, they weren't sweeping it because they wanted the dirt off their sidewalk. They were sweeping the old yucky energy out from the day before. So that's why they would do that. No clue on that for years and years and years. But I'm glad I figured that one out. And now I can go, okay, you're not senile. There's nothing there, but yes, there is energies. You can ring a bell in the middle of every room you have, or a chime, and the vibration of that, and you listen and listen as the longer it resonates, the clearer your room is.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have a Tibetan bell, a bowl, crystal bowl, even a regular chime, one that really resonates, you can do that. You can sage every day if you want. You can also use just your intent and sit down and take a moment and watch yourself pushing all the negative energies out of your house.
Okay.
If you're really good at visualization. Because really, when we peel the onion, it's intent. It's our energy.
Yeah.
But we can use all these tools. That's fine too.
Yeah, I like that, you know, because I always like to have like practical approaches to spirituality. It's one of the things I really enjoy. You know, I always say, like, you know, my audience knows I love the woo-woo, but, you know, I like to have practical sense that they can do, especially when they're on this journey, you know, because you know, it's trial by fire sometimes, right? Sometimes you make mistakes and things happen, and, you know, you don't want to get down to the cycle of, you know, all these, you know, open portals and, you know, attachments and things like that. You can clear it, but also to make sure that you clear your energy, that you clear the environment, and just watch what's happening in your own thoughts and feelings too, as well, which is so important. And yeah, I just think that's fabulous. So that being said, Vanessa, we're going to slowly end the podcast here. But before we do that, I want everybody to know where they can find you, all your services. Unfortunately, this is a pre-recorded show. So any classes that you have are upcoming, it's going to be passed. But let's say in the future, if you're having any upcoming classes, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at www.psychicmediumvanessahurst.com. On Facebook, you can find me on Instagram. I also do every once in a while, I go out there and I do some free readings on TikTok if you find me there. I think I'm going to be painting some heads for some steaks on Halloween. So I may be booting up the old live soon on there so you can watch me paint those. And I will, of course, do some readings as well. Where else can you find me? In Port Colborne, Ontario. That is, if you were to come to a one-to-one. I also do reading parties. As far as I kind of go, is like Burlington to Paris, Ontario, that big circle, back to Niagara. I have to admit, I'm not a Toronto driver. And it's funny because a lot of empaths and psychics are really shaky when it comes to big highways and a lot of energies like that. And I am one of them. I just cannot deal with it. Even with my GPS, you know, yelling at me to go turn here, I can't do it.
I'm in the city and it's nutty. It's not fun.
I don't know how you do it. I honestly,
alcohol. That's all I can say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that does help. That does help.
Honestly, I don't drink anymore, but you know, it's pretty nutty. So, I totally understand. I'm looking to change my location to a little more greenery, a little more calmness, and a little
suburbia
more
or country. I'm in the country now. Yeah
country. That's I grew up in the country, so a small town boy. So I'm preferring that, but just energetically, I need that as part of my overall healing. That's the next step that I got to do. But you know what, Vanessa, thank you so much for doing this. I just wish we would have done this last year, but this is the perfect timing for it. So again, thank you so much. Yeah. You know, I was just very excited to have you on the show. And so all the information for Vanessa's information, I'll have, like any one of my guests, I'll have them in the description below. So just scroll down a little bit further, you know, all the links there and the Vanessa's website information, and you can basically, you know, contact, get a reading, maybe even have a portrait done of your spirit guides, anything like that, tarot readings, dream interpretations, all that good stuff. So again, Vanessa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it greatly. I'm grateful.
All right. So everybody, this has been the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott. Thank you so much for tuning in, and goodbye for now.